I want tonight to talk about the Holy Spirit and His work. When you get to the New Testament, something amazing is about to happen. The Holy Spirit was at work in all of the Old Testament. The Bible describes, Peter describes it, how holy men of old spake as they were moved, carried along, the Greek indicates, by the Spirit of God. It's as though the Holy Spirit picked them up and gave them the very words that they should write, because those are words given by the Spirit of God. And like the finger of God wrote the words of God on those tables of stones at Mount Sinai, so the hands of the prophets and whatever instruments of writing they had were used by God to give the words of God. But one of those things was in the Old Testament, Joel chapter 2, the day is coming in which the work of the Spirit will be drastically changed. For the day is coming in which I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That's Jewish flesh, Gentile flesh. In fact, it is those who are old and those who are young. Old men will dream dreams, young men will see visions. That's what Joel said. And it was for those who were not just who were educated and the most, but it was for their servants and handmaidens. I will pour out of my Spirit, and they will be the avenue through which I will give a new testament. And so you look at the text, Jesus is ready to leave this world. In John chapter 16, or chapter 14, he said, I'm leaving you. But he gets to chapter 16 and he said, I'm not going to leave you here without a comforter. When I get to heaven, I'm going to pray the Father, and He will pour out His Spirit. He will give His Spirit to all flesh. And so it was that on Pentecost, these words were being fulfilled. Because Peter says in Acts chapter 2, that which was prophesied by Joel is happening right here and now, and you right this very minute, he says, these things that you are seeing, you remember the tongues of fire there on Pentecost, and that which you are hearing, the men speaking, ignorant and unlearned men speaking in languages they'd never studied, and you're hearing them as they speak in these languages. God is fulfilling this. But Jesus is very specific in when he talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit. He says, there are things that I want to tell you. But look at verse 12. He says, there are things I want to tell you, but you're not able to bear them right yet. There were some real heavy things that he was about to tell them, and a revelation of a New Testament. And he said, I've taught you a lot. And the Holy Spirit, when he comes, will bring to you your remembrance everything, said this to the apostles, everything that I've said. And so when the apostles no longer have Jesus, the Holy Spirit was there to bring to their minds whatever Jesus had said. But it was also to reveal new truths. And so it says, he will reveal you these things. And verse 13 and 14 says, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all of the truth. You've got to recognize Jesus is in the upper room. He's in that upper room, and there are these apostles that are there. And he says to the apostles, the Spirit is going to come on you. After his resurrection, he's saying to the apostles, you go into the city of Jerusalem, and there you will receive power, for in just a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And just a few days later, God poured out his Spirit on these apostles. And so Jesus says, when the Spirit comes, he will not speak of his own authority. That's in these verses. But whatever he hears, those things that are mine, he will take these things that are mine that you're not able to bear, and he's going to give them to you. And you will have all of the truth there is. And so we need to understand about the work of the Spirit. And one of the reasons I chose this passage to talk about in an introductory way, the work of the Holy Spirit, is found in verse 8 when he says, when the Spirit is come, the Holy Spirit that's coming upon you, that is going to enable you to speak as the Spirit gives you utterance. That's what happened. They began to speak when the Holy Spirit came on them, as the Holy Spirit gave them the very words that they were to speak. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. You want to understand the fulfillment of this? Read the book of Acts. You want to understand how the Holy Spirit operated? Read the book of Acts. But it was not just the apostles who received the Spirit. Through the laying on of the apostles' hand, the Spirit was given to every member of the church. In Acts chapter 8, Philip goes up to Samaria, not Philip the apostle, Philip the deacon, Philip the evangelist, goes up to Samaria, and they preaches to them, words given by the Spirit, preaches to them things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. And they hearing, they were baptized, both men and women, and the apostles sent in Jerusalem, sent Peter and John unto these men and women, who when they came down, prayed for these men and women that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So the apostles laid their hands on them, and they received the Spirit. But they did not get it all. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, only it was given out in parts and pieces. And so he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we know in part and we prophesy in part. Prophecy was partially given. It was not all given on Pentecost. You've got to read the rest of the book of Acts. You've got to read the epistles. You've got to read the book of Revelation. But when you get to the end of that New Testament, all of the truth has been given, and it's no longer partial. It's now written. All Scripture, the word Scripture means writings. All the writings thoroughly supply the man of God unto every good work. And so when you get to the end of the New Testament, those last few books that are written in the New Testament, here's what they say. This faith has once and for all been delivered to the saints. That's Jude, verse 3 of that first chapter. And verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 1 says, God has, past tense, now given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. I want you to understand that while it was given out in parts, some revelation to this one and some revelation to another, you read 1 Corinthians 14 of a situation in the church where a man might have been standing up and was prophesying in the Spirit, and something was revealed to another individual who was standing by. It wasn't revealed to the man who was speaking. It was revealed to this other man. This man who was speaking, what he was speaking was the very words of God, but it was partial. And so there might be something else that needed to be said. And so when the Spirit was given to another prophet, he was to interrupt, and the first man was to be quiet while that second man gave that part of the scripture that had been revealed unto him. But the Bible says it's not going to be that way forever. The time will come when prophecy will cease. Why? Because you no longer have it in part. We know in parts when this was written, that was true. Many books of the Bible had not yet been written. And they were being written even as these words are spoken. And so Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, by the Spirit, were writing down about Jesus, what Jesus said and the events of Jesus' life. And I want you to understand that we no longer know bits and pieces of it. We know everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Listen, through the writings, through the scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16 says, all of the scriptures, written scriptures, thoroughly supply the man of God unto every good work. What does it supply? Doctrine, verse 17, or still in verse 16, 2 Timothy 3:16, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. All doctrine has been given, all instruction has been given, and it's been written that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. In the Old Testament, the expression man of God is usually used to refer to an Old Testament prophet. I want you to understand that. There was that individual, because the Spirit had not been poured out upon all flesh, but had been given unto some. And so that man is called the man of God. Read the Old Testament, the man of God. Guess what? The New Testament says that those who stand and proclaim the message of God, just like that prophet in the Old Testament was given the very words of God to speak when he prophesied, he's the man of God. So the Bible says, the scriptures having been given supply the man of God for everything that he needs. And I want you to understand that when you come to a study of the work of the Holy Spirit. But oh, how the Holy Spirit is viewed differently today. We have individuals that talk about the Spirit, and they talk about it in such a way, the Holy Spirit told me something. I just prayed and God gave me a revelation. You begin looking at this, the Holy Spirit just comes and the Holy Spirit comforts me. The Holy Spirit someday will raise me up. I'm led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit sanctifies me. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. The Holy Spirit quickens me. The Holy Spirit strengthens me. The Holy Spirit purifies me. The Holy Spirit produces faith. I don't want to resist the Spirit. I don't want to quench the Spirit. I've been begotten of the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to be born of the Spirit. I want to be cleansed by the Spirit of God. And some of these words that are on the screen are biblical words, because that's what the Holy Spirit did. And That is what these that are biblical are what the Holy Spirit does. How does he do it? Not through one man having the Spirit of God and him standing it up, but so that every individual has the writings of the Scriptures. And the writings of the Scriptures are the words given by the Spirit. And so Ephesians chapter 6 says that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. I want you to hear that. The instrument used by the Spirit to accomplish His work is the Word of God. And we've got to understand that. And so that sword, the Word of God in Acts chapter 2, when they heard that Jesus had been made Lord and Christ, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What cut them? The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It's when individuals talk about the Spirit doing things on this earth that's not even related sometimes to the Word of God. They're saying more than the Bible says. And the purpose of the last part of this lesson is to show you that the Holy Spirit can comfort you, that the Holy Spirit can raise you up, that you can be led by the Spirit, that you can be sanctified by the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will quicken you. The Holy Spirit will cause you to be born again. The Holy Spirit will help you grow. The Holy Spirit will guide you. But the question is not whether the Holy Spirit does this. The question and the emphasis of this part of this lesson, that is the most vital aspect of it, is to recognize 2 Timothy chapter 3. This book that has within it everything that pertains to life and godliness has been written. For all Scripture is given to supply the man of God unto every good work. Does the Holy Spirit comfort us? Look at that, and we'll look at each of these individually, and they are verses of the Scriptures. Some of them are verses that have double verses, some have more than one. When they have more than one, it's because the first verse, if there's more than one, will indicate that the Bible says the Holy Spirit does this. And so we know the Holy Spirit does it. But the other verses, those second verses where there are multiple verses, usually that second verse says, and this is how the Holy Spirit uses the sword of the Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit comfort us? Acts chapter 20. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. Paul's leaving. An inspired apostle, been baptized in the Holy Spirit, is now leaving. they no longer would have the apostle to preach there. Though he had preached there in Ephesus for 3 years, he says, I'm now leaving you, and I commend you to the word of God. You no longer have me, but I want you to understand the word of God will build you up. You know what that is? It's the Holy Spirit using the sword of the Spirit to build them up. And to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. The Holy Spirit's desire is to build you up and to give you an inheritance. Holy Spirit, how are you going to do that? The word of God. I'm no longer the apostle here. The word of God will build you up. And so when the church at Thessalonica, this verse is not on the screen, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, was concerned about those who have died, Paul says in verse 18, comfort one another with these words. Do you want to be comforted by the words, comforted by the Holy Spirit? Then let the sword of the Spirit comfort you. There, comfort one another with these words. Romans chapter 8 says the Spirit will raise us up. That's true. How is the Spirit going to raise us up? John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29 says that when the Spirit raises us up, all that are in the grave will hear his voice. What are they going to hear? His voice. And they're going to be raised. The words of heaven to accomplish the work of heaven. What about being led by the Spirit? The Bible in Galatians chapter 6 does, chapter 5, verse 16 does talk about being led by the Spirit. I want you to understand and hear the impact of these words from Psalms 119. Thy word, Old Testament word, given by the Spirit, holy men of God, moved by the Spirit, wrote down these words, thy words are a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You want the Holy Spirit to show you the way? You want the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom to help you make decisions? Then go to the book that is filled with wisdom. And what does it say? The Word of God enlightens our way and is a light unto our feet. You want to be sanctified by the Spirit? Do you desire to be sanctified by the Spirit? Look at John 17. Jesus prayed about these apostles, says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How is the Holy Spirit going to sanctify me? Sanctify me through thy words. Let the Holy Spirit cause you to turn away from sin. As it convicted men in the Bible on the day of Pentecost, and in the very next chapter they were to be converted, will you not listen to the words of the Spirit and let the words of the Spirit convict you of sin and show you the paths of righteousness because you know of the coming judgment. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Holy Spirit dwelling within me, you put that in a first century setting, and everybody in the church had the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says the Spirit is given to every person. Chapter 14, verse 26 of 1 Corinthians says, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has an interpretation. Why? Paul had been there all of that time. He'd been doing what those apostles did when they came down to Samaria and laid their hands on those men and women in Acts chapter 8, and they received the Spirit. They had received the Spirit. It was inside of them. And the Bible in 1 John chapter 2 says that anointing of the Spirit that dwells in you teaches you all things. You put that in a first century setting. Are you surprised at all that Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. You want to be in the Spirit? You want the Spirit within you? Let me ask it this way. You want to be in Christ? You want Christ to be in you? You want God to be in you? You want to be in God? Then listen to the Holy Spirit, and He'll show you how to be in Christ and how to be in the Father and have the Father in you and have Christ in you and in a parallel setting and how the Spirit will be in you. Quicken me. Calvinism is based on the doctrine that the Bible is a dead book and no man will ever be converted until the Holy Spirit zaps them some miraculous way. Zap! That's not a Bible concept. Try to find that in the Bible separate and apart from preaching and the Word of God. Does the Word quicken us? Psalm 119 verse 50 says, thy words quicken me. What that means, makes me alive. You want the Holy Spirit to make you alive, then get involved in the using the sword of the Spirit and let it make you alive. Will it strengthen you? Oh, yes, Ephesians 3 talks about being strengthened in the Spirit. That's an affirmation, but it's verses like Acts 20, verse 32, the one we've looked at before, builds you up and gives you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. There's no doubt of the fact that we're strengthened by the Spirit, but it is not all of a sudden I'm a weak Christian and the very next morning I wake up and I'm a full-grown Christian. Bible says we grow up into the image of Christ. How do we do that? By reading the Scriptures that thoroughly supply us unto every good works. The Spirit purifies us. You want to live a pure life? You want the Holy Spirit to purify you? You have obeyed from the heart, the Bible says, that doctrine, and you've been purified, not by the blood of bulls and goats, purified by the words of God. Isn't that remarkable? Don't just pray, God, purify me, and the Word of God is never a part of your life. The Holy Spirit will come and He will convict you. In that passage in John 16, through words of sin and of judgment, but in a parallel setting, the Holy Spirit, through the words that He's given, sanctifies us. It cleanses us. It purifies us. Look over on the last thing on the right-hand side. It cleanses me. John 15, verse 2, Jesus said, you are cleansed through the words that I've spoken. You want the Holy Spirit to clean your life up? Then let the sword of the Spirit dwell in your heart richly. And the Holy Spirit will work to cleanse you of sin. You want to walk in the Spirit? 2 John verse 6, in that book that only has one chapter, says, we walk according to the commandments. How am I going to walk in the Spirit? Here's a sword. It is the sword of the Spirit. It'll help me grow. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says that we have received it all, that everything that pertains to life and godliness belongs to us, and we can grow in the Spirit. Acts 20, I commend you to God, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. And what about the new birth? Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, here were people born of the Spirit. You have been begotten by the gospel that I preached unto you. Acts 18 says, Paul came into Corinth and Paul preached unto them, and when they heard it, many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. And Paul says, you were begotten by the words that I spoke to you, by the gospel. Words given by the Holy Spirit led them to the water, and they were born again of water and of the Spirit. Water is involved, and the words of the Spirit will lead us to the water. What about resisting the Spirit? In Acts chapter 7, Paul says to the people, or Stephen says to the people, you individuals are just like your fathers. You are resisting the Spirit. You look at chapter 6, they could not withstand the words by which Stephen spoke. And when he stands before them and speaks words that they could not stand against, they could not withstand what he was saying, they were convicted of the judgment to come. Why? Because the words of God carry them to the very judgment of God. And Stephen says, speaking the very words of God, the words of heaven, the sword of the Spirit, convicts them of their sins. Isn't that amazing? And isn't it amazing that when Jesus, the Son of God, met the devil face to face, he quenched the evil spirit by saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written, it is written. And whatever you're struggling in your life with, when Satan brings that, you know the word of God good enough so that you can say to that temptation, I am not going to do that because it is written. And let the Spirit of God empower you. This lesson could go for much, much longer. Let me just make a concluding kind of thought. There's no denying what the Spirit does when the New Testament says that is what the Spirit does. The only question is, how does he do it? There are individuals who, when they talk about the Spirit, never mention the Word of God, and God has laid it on my heart that this is what I should do. How do you know that's not an evil spirit that has laid it on your heart? I'll tell you how you'll know. By the words of the Spirit of God. It's not a question of what the Spirit does. It's a question of how the Spirit does it. And when individuals begin to talk about any matter, and particularly the matter of the Holy Spirit, they sometimes will come up with some of the craziest ideas you've ever heard. God told me. It's Oral Roberts. Remember a few years ago? Speaking by the Spirit of God, he says, I have a vision, and the Lord has told me to erect this great, great statue. And if I don't do it, it's going to kill me. And the Lord has told me, unless I raise $6 million, he's going to kill me. Raise the statue? $6 million? Where's that? I can only know how the Spirit works by reading this book. And you and I really need to understand that. Jesus said in reference to the Spirit, and you need to hear, listen to this carefully, that when the Spirit comes, He will not glorify Himself. He will glorify me. Pentecostalism is built upon stating things about the Holy Spirit of God that magnifies the Spirit even above Jesus Himself. And sometimes we may tend to do that. The Spirit's desire is to step in the background and to Him, to Jesus, be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end, not a glorification of the Holy Spirit of God. We live in the time in which men want to glorify the Spirit and talk about the Spirit doing some astounding things. You need to be careful. Because if every man was led by the Spirit, or being led by the Holy Spirit, they'd all believe exactly the same thing. The Mormons believe in the indwelling and the direction of the Spirit giving them messages. The Jehovah's Witness came about because there was a man who said, I have the Spirit of God, and you cannot understand the Scriptures without my books. And isn't that almost exactly what is being done by televangelists? Instead of pointing us to the Word of God, they point us to their books. Folks, the practical application is this. Thy Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Amen. Drink deeply of the Spirit. But don't drink deeply of the Spirit separate and apart from the sword of the Spirit. And never lose sight of the fact it's written down. Jesus said in Matthew 23, I will send you New Testament scribes. Like there were scribes in the Old Testament, I will send you scribes. Jesus prophesied the writing of the New Testament. And Paul says, and the Scriptures thoroughly supply us, listen, unto every good work. Jesus works through the Word, the Father works through the Word, and the Spirit works through the Word, and it is that operation of the Spirit that needs to be focused on by every one of us. Let me see if I can illustrate. Will you walk in the Spirit tonight? Will you be led by the Spirit tonight in reference to salvation? You see on the right side of the screen, you see all those verses? Words given by the Spirit of God. Do I need to believe? Oh, yeah, that's what John 3:16. Do I need to change my life? If I don't do it, I'll perish, Luke 13:3. Do I need to confess my faith in Jesus? Romans 10:9, if you'll confess your faith, you'll be saved. Do I need to be baptized? We just killed the Son of God, men and brethren. What shall we do? Repent, and every one of you be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's the way of salvation. And read the book of Acts. The church is being birthed in those 28 chapters, and the Lord is adding to that church every day those who are being born again, born of water and the Spirit, and they're being added to it. The question is, have you done this? And then he says to those of us who have done it, as a Christian, you keep immersed in the Word. You keep your heart full of faith. Faithful until the day you die, and I will give you the crown of life. There's so much more that could be said, but we need to understand when people talk so loosely about the Holy Spirit of God and get all kinds of revelations that sort of satisfy them. Everything that pertains to life and godliness has been written down for us. All Scripture is given that the man of God may be perfect, and God has given us everything that pertains to life and God. Not that we know it in part, we know it all. And God help us to come to this book that will teach us those parts we do not yet know. Let's sing this song, and if you want to be baptized tonight or if you've wandered away from the Lord, it'll be a great time for you to change your life. Let us help you go to heaven. Let us know how by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?